Hello and welcome to the Where People Meet podcast, the event technology podcast series for the worldwide meetings and events industry. I'm your host, Mitch Malinsky, head of strategic partnerships here at Feedloop in gloomy Toronto. And today I'm joined by Giovanni Galvez, Vice President of Business Development and Strategy at SyncWords, one of the top-rated captioning and translation services for in-person, hybrid, and virtual events. Gio, it's great to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Great to see you too, Mitch. It's great to be here, and I'm excited to meet with you and have this podcast.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for making the time. Gio, where are you calling in from today?
Well, currently I'm in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
But our headquarters is in New York.
Fantastic. Not too far from here then. Hopefully you've got a bit better weather than what we're experiencing today. But hey, let's start with you telling everyone a bit about yourself and your background in the meetings and events industry.
Yeah. So, you know, as part of SyncWords, you know, we've been doing live events for about 10 years. Okay. And we primarily focus on the broadcast television space. And that's where I come from. You know, I have over 20 years experience in that, working with different companies that work with, you know, live streaming and live events and broadcast technologies. I'm, of course, like focused on closed captioning, right? That's my main thing. And SyncWords, you know, was really a great company to join in 2019.
Yep.
Because they were very progressive. They were a cloud-based company. You know, they wanted to scale, make things affordable. As you know, captioning can be expensive. Translations can be even more expensive. Mm-hmm. And so this was a great, match for me to join. And yeah, things have been quite good. And we've grown so much in the last few years.
Yeah, I'd say the pandemic definitely played a big role in that. We saw the rise of more demand for captioning, multi-language support at events, even accessibility as well. So in terms of why you developed an interest in captioning and translation services, Gio, can you give us a bit of insight around that?
Yeah, sure. Well, that goes way back to like my college days, where I was really keen, and you know, back then, you know, the biggest, coolest media was DVD media, right? And this was like hugely popular when they kind of got it. You know, they were like, you know, putting digital media like Laserdisc. It didn't really go well, but DVDs, people got it. It's like, oh, it's like a CD, but it's got a movie in it.
Yep.
And so I wanted to learn everything there was about that. You know, I was became like a vendor for a company called Spruce Technology, which was later acquired by Apple, a DVD cool. Studio Pro. And you know, what I focused on is accessibility, interactivity with it. And one of the key things about DVD media was that you could put as many languages as you wanted. Right, you could put different audio languages, you can put different subtitle languages, you could put closed captioning. But this was quite a black magic, you know. It was really like very specialized, but I wanted to learn everything there was about it. So naturally, I partnered with a company out of my neck of the woods called CPC. Okay. They made software to create subtitles and translations and captioning. And they immediately hired me as a product manager. You know, they said, you really got it, you know, like what we do and how we can grow. As a result of that, you know, I really dove in like as deep as I could in that whole sub-industry of closed captioning, right? Working with universities that taught American Sign Language. Yep. And focused on deaf and hard of hearing communities. And it was my goal in my career to take all my video knowledge and apply it to accessibility. And as a result of that, you know, my career really went in that direction. And I became kind of like, I guess, an industry expert in the United States when it came to all things captioning and subtitling.
Absolutely. And that's why we love working with you at this point. But I'm really curious, that first role you had with, sorry, it was CDC Technologies?
Yeah, CPC.
Okay. The captioning that they were doing at that time, was that AI driven or was that all manual, having translators transcribe the recordings, the audio, and then putting it out in different formats?
No, it was all manual. At the time when I joined, not only was it all manual, but you had to work with tape decks, like these big, you know, professional, like very expensive tape decks. Some of you guys in the video industry know, you know, Beta SP and Digital Beta Cam and HD Cam, and captioning in general was designed to work in that aspect with big broadcast hardware. It was never designed to work with AI, definitely not AI. It was definitely not designed to work on the cloud or even with software, you know. So really, the innovation that preceded AI, complementing captioning, was to be able to work completely digitally. Meaning, like, we were the first ones to take a video file, like an MP4, for example, right? Like, there's other kind of video files, MXF, MOVs, you know, all of these, and actually digitally insert the caption data into it. And then the iPhone came about. I mean, that's how old I am. And, you know, one of the biggest things was like, how do we get captioning into a mobile device, into the iPhone, you know? And we were able to figure this out, you know, utilizing some of the Apple technology at the time. And so naturally, when things moved away from these expensive tape decks, you know, that would just cost hundreds of dollars just for the actual tape, the next step was like, how can we leverage AI to make this process more streamlined, simpler, right? Still utilizing a human in the mix to make sure accuracy was there, but to make it more affordable and more scalable. And so that's really where we are right now as an industry.
It's fascinating. It's really interesting technology. Roughly, when would you estimate AI came onto the scene?
Yeah, so there was a big kind of rush to it. I would say about 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
Where caption companies, you know, that generally relied on court reporting, you know, like people that have like these specialized keyboards, they work at courtrooms, but they also do, you know, the news and sports like NHL hockey, you know, NBA, they're the people. And there just wasn't enough of them.
Yeah.
Right. Cause the demand was huge and video was exploding, cable TV, you know, all these things. And so there was companies that developed a way for people to do something called voice writing, where basically what it was is that you would train using your voice and speech to text, and utilizing training models, you could train the AI to understand your voice, right? So that you could have a key vocabulary, the way you pronounce things. And then all of a sudden, voice writing became just as important as court reporting, right? Where you had people that would train their voices and you would hire them, and they basically re-speak. You know, so if they were captioning our meeting right now, they would just, you know, repeat everything that's being said.
Yeah.
So there, it's about 7 or 8 years ago that that became a big rush to do that. And now you can kind of see both of these types of captioners are there in the live setting.
That's great. Now, there's a lot of different paths we can take this conversation, but one item you did address in terms of why you got interested in captioning and translation services back in college was the topic of accessibility. And this is something we've seen rising in importance over the past few years, especially with the pandemic and the rise of the virtual event format, is lots of our clients need to ensure that their online virtual events are able to appeal to a wide variety of audiences, people with disabilities, people in different regions in parts of the world that they previously couldn't tap into when they were solely an in-person event. And we're also seeing some clients, some businesses come to us where they're looking at standards like WCAG, there's AODA for us here in Ontario, down in the States. I know you've got ADA as well. And certain organizations cannot use a new software unless it meets certain accessibility standards. So, Gio, in your opinion, after all this experience you've gotten over the years, why is it important, narrowing down and focusing on events, why is it important for event planners to prioritize accessible and inclusive events?
Yeah, I think in general, there's a lot of different aspects to the importance. Certainly in the case of accessibility that's regulated, right, by the government, meaning like, you know, you should do it, or, you know, you could possibly get into trouble.
Yep.
With legal trouble, or I've seen universities with lawsuits, universities have to do it as well. You want to avoid that, right? And so it's important to put accessibility as part of the key planning aspects of your event and not just like an afterthought.
Yep.
And the reason for that is two things. Number one, budget, right? You want to make sure you understand how much accessibility is going to cost you before you finalize your budget. Otherwise, you're going to get a surprise at the end of the closest to the event.
Yep.
The other aspect to it is inclusivity, right? So if you're a business, especially, this is very relevant to you, because right now, as the way things are, there's international business. That's a reality, right? To grow, we have to grow beyond domestic business. And not only that, we have to tap into different communities within our local community as well. Mm-hmm. And these communities oftentimes speak a different language. And it's not just about the deaf and hard of hearing. That's key as well. But accessibility also goes into, you know, people that speak a different language. I can tell you right now, you know, my family is Latin American, and the older generation of my family, and, you know, I'm older now, generation of my family as well, but they're keen on consuming content in their own language.
Right.
And so imagine, you know, someone that, and these people are, you know, business people. Some of my family, they're lawyers. They're, you know, they own businesses. They're looking for vendors, things like this. They want to participate. Doctors, et cetera. And so when they join an event, or they're considering joining an event, whether it's a conference or a meeting, they're going to look for that. They're going to say, hey, you know, is it something I can consume in my own language? When they find it, and they find it easily, that immediately changes their perception of the event. You know, they feel now they're welcome. And so that's a really key aspect to accessibility when you're planning an event, right? It's not just about, oh, you know, someone randomly finds a website and it's accessible. It's you're inviting people to register. And because of that accessibility, they're going to feel more welcome.
That's a really good point. And it's clear that event planners need to address this from the initial planning phases rather than doing it towards the end. Because as you mentioned, they may be surprised at the cost of live captioning or other translation services that need to be added onto their event in order to become more accessible. So with that in mind, when we're looking at the event planner and the steps they need to take to plan an event, what do they need to do? What factors do they need to account for in order to ensure that their events are as accessible as possible to different audiences?
Yeah, I think, working with, of course, a platform that can provide registration analytics is critical.
Yep.
Right. If you know for a fact, like, for example, you're in Toronto, if you're doing an event, you know, that caters to people in Montreal or Quebec, then it's most likely you're going to have a bilingual audience. Right.
Absolutely.
And the registration can, you know, you could leverage some of the technology there to tell you how many people are really going to be needing this accessibility. The same thing goes for people who are deaf and hard of hearing. You know, if you put like something in the registration that says, hey, I need this, then you could have a company like us, leading up to the event. We could add the services, you know, even, 2 weeks before the event. So you'll know the cost that it would be. And if you get those registrations, then you could roll that out. Another aspect to it is, what about scalability? Let's say you do have people from Montreal or Quebec, you know, they need French Canadian translations.
Yeah.
What about maybe you have some folks from Toronto, maybe they would like Punjabi. Or maybe there's, you know, folks that, you know, you'd be surprised, you know, maybe your event, you'll get registrations from people that say, hey, I'm Italian. I would like Italian. And you could add this. Even the day of the event, with our technology, you could add this automatic translation to these languages and with high accuracy. So the way to leverage AI is also helping people to make it affordable, but it's scalable. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, you monitor the registrations, and then based on that registration need, you can make those decisions to include specific languages.
Right. So it's all about capturing the data and understanding your audience, what their needs are, what their priorities are. And then from there, that'll shape what systems you need in place. Okay. So let's do it. Let's dive into it. Tell us about SyncWords, what your company does, what kind of technology you offer. I'm excited to learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. So SyncWords, we're a company out of New York. We primarily focus on having a hybrid approach to accessibility. You know, okay. Certainly high accuracy is our goal. We don't want to give you something that is not going to accurately represent the things you're presenting. You know, your keynote speakers, certain medical conferences, they're very critical with vocabulary, with terms, with names. So the way we approach it is we actually connect. For every session, every stage, we connect two people. We connect a technician and we connect an actual professional certified captioner, right? Someone that's on par with what you would use for the nightly news and your favorite news station.
Yep.
So we take the best from the broadcast technology and we bring it to the virtual event arena. And what we do with that is they get high accuracy. They train with all the names and vocabulary. But as they're typing, we then connect that input into our cloud-based AI.
Okay.
From there, we're able to distribute it. We're able to support just by default 12,000 viewers. That's kind of critical bandwidth. We can scale from there as well. And of course, we can translate that English or if in the case they're typing in French or whatever languages to 100 different languages, all in real time. And so that allows us to have this level of scalability and accuracy. You know, we do events for major news networks right now in the broadcast world, and that's how we know that we can give you something that's up to par.
That's incredible. There's obviously a lot that goes on behind the scenes. It seems fairly complicated. But really, really cool technology. We've actually seen it in place at some of our previous user conferences and some of the events we host. Of course, lots of our clients on the platform use SyncWords to appeal to different audiences, different languages, and it does work incredibly well. So can you clarify, are you using live translators? Are you using AI? Are you using a combination of both?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, we don't use live translation with a human. We do live translation with AI. The human aspect is on the input side, right? So let's say we are doing this podcast in English. I would get a human captioner in English to do the English. From there, we have kind of like the master language to translate from, right?
Yeah,
and that's basically how it works. You know, you have the human in the front end to make sure it's accurate, and this is critical because sometimes people assume that, you know, you can just do everything with AI. Speech to text. The truth of the matter is, it makes a lot of mistakes. It's getting better.
Yeah,
but if I say ice cream versus ice cream, it doesn't know what I'm saying.
Right.
And so we can't have that translated. Mistakes like that get translated. They're going to get translated poorly.
That's actually a beautiful way to approach it, because when I've been on calls with some of our clients who are looking to run multi-language events, it's they're trying to weigh two items. The first is budget. I've got a certain amount of money I can spend, but I need to ensure my event is appealing to different languages and I want it to be accurate. But people then hear AI, and that tends to be the more affordable option, but their concern with AI is accuracy. So it seems you're getting around that by having the initial transcription being done by a human to ensure 100% accuracy, and then the AI takes care of translating the written text from there. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And one thing else I'd like to add to that is, you know, if you want to really get feedback, you know, because decisions should be data driven. If you really want to get feedback about how effective speech to text is versus a human captioner, you know, ask someone from the deaf community. They will tell you, you know, because think of it, you know, that's the only way they can consume media, especially now where there's virtual events every day. They'll say, you know, we want a professional captioner, you know, always, because they don't want to read something that's wrong, right? That confuses them, it's distracting, things like that. So really, setting forth something that's industry standard, that major news agencies and sports companies are using, and bringing that to your live event, I think is going to give your audience the best possible experience.
Absolutely. So looking ahead, the really nice part about us working for technology companies is that it's very fast paced. For someone like me, I love that. There's always a lot of innovation. There's always a lot of new technologies coming out. So in terms of accessibility, captioning, that side of the tech industry, what are the trends you see going forward?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of trends. First of all, right now, especially in 2022, you know, people want to know what's the next thing, right? The world in general, as we know it, has shifted quite a bit, where virtual meetings are and virtual conferences are the norm. There are, of course, you know, this effort of becoming, you know, in person again, but I think it's never going to be the same as it was before. People rely on virtual meetings daily. So naturally, viewers, right? They want to see innovation. They want to see what's next. From our perspective, we understand that translation is a critical aspect of growth. It's a critical way for us to offer our services to everyone around the world.
Yep.
And so now we're working on not only translating the text, subtitling, but we want to translate the voice. So imagine a technology that allows us to speak in any language, right? Mm-hmm. Think of science fiction, Star Trek, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where, you know, I'm speaking in English, but attendees can hear me speak in French. They can hear me speak in Italian and Japanese and all of these things. And that is really a way to get people engaged, because the truth of the matter is, you know, after like several hours of reading subtitles, you know, it can get a little, you know, you get a little tired. So because our accuracy can be very high for translation, there's really no limit in what we can do with that data as far as translating and delivering it in multiple languages. So there's that. Things about accuracy, granular ways to put glossaries in the translation. For example, imagine a brand that, let's take, for example, the brand Monster, you know.
Yep.
If your company is called Monster, you don't want that translated into Monster in all these other languages.
Right.
You would want a way to tailor the translation so that your brand stays the same name for all the languages and everything else gets translated. So there's ways to do that with technology now. There's ways to add a glossary of terms that are really critical that you want them translated exactly right. So accuracy, of course, needs to get even higher. And, you know, the way you deliver the results has to be, you know, more agile. And I think creating new audio, I think, would be a good way to do that.
Wonderful. So for SyncWords, how are you looking at these trends? What are the next steps for your team?
Yeah, so I think in general, you know, I think SyncWords is really diving in deeper into streaming technologies.
Okay.
Looking at streaming as an opportunity to really leverage our AI and delivery. Right now, the way things are is, you know, it's kind of separate. You know, you have, you know, a completely separate system to stream the video, and then you have a different system to do the translations, to do the captioning. But what if you could unite them? And that's what we're really working on. And, you know, just this week, we were in Norway at the World Broadcast Union, demonstrating our next generation technology that allows those two aspects to join together so that it can work not only on your desktop, on your mobile, but, you know, it's just an amazing thing. Imagine going to an event, scanning a QR code, and then on your mobile, you can hear, you know, the audio in 20 different languages, right? Just like
right,
that.
Right. Yep. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask. It seems we've been focusing mainly on virtual events, but now that people are getting back in person, how does this translate to in-person events and offering inclusive, accessible, multi-language environments for all of the attendees? And it seems we've got our answer.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Mitch, you know, like I remember my mom didn't even know what a QR code was, you know, before the pandemic, you know,
yeah.
After going, you know, like to do like food carry out here and there, you know, it became a thing. You know, you have your mobile phone, you have your QR code. So that allows us to now really leverage what we built on the virtual stage, you know, what we built on the browser.
Right.
To connect everyone, whether they're hybrid or whether they're in person or whether they're at home, you know, and we're really excited about the possibilities there.
That's incredible. Well, I can personally attest that SyncWords, you're constantly pushing the needle. You have a fantastic product. It's very affordable. And every client we've got using you just absolutely loves the experience. So thank you for what you're doing in the industry, for pushing this mission of accessibility, being able to accommodate different languages at events, because it is very, very important. And I'm glad we've got people like you pushing that message.
I'm grateful too, Mitch. You know, I'd love to leave you with just a quick demo of what's coming up next. And let me share my screen here.
Please. Very exciting.
This is absolutely something mind-boggling. Here's a live stream.
Okay.
And we know we can change languages, right? But what about changing audio?
Oh, wow. So this audio would be AI?
Yeah. That's absolutely right, Mitch. What you're seeing there, those voices are all synthetic voices. And what we're doing is two things. You know, we are generating them in real time. So that's a live stream you just saw. We're translating the captioner to a different language, and we're creating the synthetic voice. But more importantly, it's an elegant user experience because it's part of the video player.
Right.
You don't have to, you know, like go over here, go over there. It's all kind of like something that people already know and understand. And the beautiful thing about it is it works on the mobile as well. So it's completely will work on anything. And that's really, I think, the key thing, right? Not just creating the technology, but delivering it in an elegant way. And that's why we really love to work with Feedloop, because Feedloop has been really focused a lot on user experience, you know, and that's really the game, right? Because you build a better way, a simpler way. People appreciate that a lot more. They want to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's really exciting. Congratulations to your team on developing that. I'm sure there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but I'm excited to see that in place at some of our events going forward. But Shreya, we are getting close to the end here, and we really do try to give listeners of the podcast actionable tips that they could implement very quickly at their own events going forward. So do you have any actionable tips and tricks that you can share with our listeners on how to make their events more accessible going forward?
Absolutely. I think it's important to, when you're creating your schedule, right? That's in the planning stages of your event.
Yep.
Make sure that you understand, you know, exactly the total running time of each session. And you don't have to like finalize that then, but get some sort of estimate, you know, like if your sessions are going to be 1 hour, are they going to be 2 hours? Are they going to have concurrent sessions? Keep track of those things, because those things will help you understand, you know, how you're, if you're going to introduce accessibility in the form of captions and subtitles, they're going to help you understand how to budget it, right? And also decide which ones are the most effective to add accessibility to. You don't have to necessarily have all of them accessible. Maybe the ones that you really want, that you feel are going to be the most accessible, maybe the keynote sessions, maybe the main stages, right? So things like that. You know, keep track of the duration of your sessions. Keep track of the ones that are really critical that you feel you're going to need maybe translation for. And then once you have that information, it's going to be a lot simpler for you to make that decision to include a service like the ones we provide.
That's fantastic. Well, wrapping this up, Shreya, if people want to learn more about you or SyncWords, where should they go?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly, you can email me at gio@syncwords.com. And you can also go to our website, syncwords.com. And we'd be happy to meet with you. You know, you can reach out to us for all things captioning and translation.
Wonderful. And we'll share all of that information in the blog post that goes out with this podcast. But Gio, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. I really enjoyed this conversation. It is a very important conversation to have, promoting accessibility, inclusivity at events in the industry. And I'm glad we were able to bring you on to Spotlight. So thank you for your time.
Thank you as well.
Wonderful. Well, everyone, appreciate you all tuning in for this episode of the Where People Meet podcast on how to run more accessible events. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful remainder of the day, and we'll see you next time on the Where People Meet podcast.